you're on.
Okay, so we've got two things here to pass around, so I want you to grab those things and take a look at each of those, the two things on the stools, and then just keep passing them around so you can take a look at them as we go. And we'll come back to those later, but I want you to see them first, and then we'll kind of work on that.
The tool belt and the baking goods?
Yeah.
Tool belt and baking goods, cool.
Where'd you get that tool belt?
That's Larry.
It's my secret. Not from my house, let's just say. So we're continuing on with our study here in the next few weeks. Coming up to May 20th, which is Pentecost, and just looking at all these aspects of the Holy Spirit. And so wanted to continue in that this morning. So this is unrelated to anything else, but if we were talking about persistence, we have a robin that is extremely persistent at our house. He sits on our neighbor's fence and attacks one of our windows. So I think he sees himself, and for the last week, he's been, you know, he'll sit on the fence and he'll look, and all of a sudden he'll come in and go, bang, 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 bang! And then he'll go back to the fence. And as soon as he gets his head straight, he goes in and he's bang, 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 bang. So we thought we could turn the blinds in such a way that he wouldn't see himself, but I wasn't able to fix it so that he couldn't see himself. So. Anyway, there's got to be at least on the upper left corner of the window, there are at least 40 beak marks scraped all over the window. Yeah.
No.
Maybe not.
No.
But
we're a BB gun.
So anyway, he's certainly persistent. He is not giving up, and he thinks there's an intruder or somebody, and my window or our window is the bad guy in all this. So anyway, that was for free, had nothing to do with anything, but I just thought it was interesting. So let's look at the notes here this morning. A daily developing friendship with Jesus enjoys the process of being known, the experience of feeling felt, the encounter of being validated but never coddled, being cared for but never overwhelmed or patronized, being fully understood while called into proper risk-taking adventure, being healed and awakened to growth, compassion, and responsibility. All of this requires living in close proximity to one another, having this cycle empowered by the creativity of the Holy Spirit. So all of that big stuff is taken from this book I've just read, Anatomy of the Soul by Dr. Kurt Thompson. But so this is what as we grow in Jesus, these are the things that are available to us that are really a very unique thing. People don't often feel known. They don't feel like anyone gets them or understands who they really are. We don't get validated the way we probably want to. We often feel misunderstood. And being called to healing and growth and compassion and responsibility also is something that we all desire. So, but that's our relationship with the Lord, obviously. And so I pulled back this definition from 2 weeks ago that I wrote at the bottom of our notes. To love is to connect, to create belonging, and to include. So in this context, the Holy Spirit connects with us and continually connects us to the Father. He creates and sustains our belonging as adopted children of the King of Kings and passionately keeps us included in the ongoing extension of God's kingdom rule. In other words, he loves us. Not the Hallmark pink lace and chocolate hearts type, but an earthy, intrepid, eternal, unquenchable, rock-solid kind.
Yes.
And so as I was thinking about this morning, I've had this almost allergic reaction to the title that we would normally have. And so that's why I've tried to do something a little different here. Because we all know that words change meanings. We're just, I think in one of our conversations, you know, Keith has really encouraged us, you know, we'll say, gosh, I wonder what that means or what that is. And Keith's famous line is, if only there was some way of finding out. And so I think it was in one of our conversations with Brian and Joan this past week, the word grotesque came up. And we thought, what does that even, you know, where did that even come from? So it's from an Italian word. And I don't remember all of it, but it's a style. It's an artistic style or something from the Italian word grotto. And so grotesque was from that Italian style of decorating or art or something. But today it's come to mean something totally different. When we say grotesque, we really don't think of an artistic style or something as attractive. We think the opposite. And we've been watching some British-type shows. And one of the words that keeps coming up is homely. But in Brit speak, homely means welcoming and warm and lovely, referring to the home. It's very much like a home, so the word homely. But we changed that around, and now it doesn't mean the same thing at all. And if you're from Boston, or wherever, you know, the word wicked, you know, it's something is wicked good, you know? And it's like, how did we ever get, you know, describing a meal? It was wicked good. And, you know, and so as we were praying for Phil Strout this morning, who's from the Northeast, he likes that word. And so it just has its own context. And so we get messed up on looking at words. You know, when I was at Teen Challenge, the boys would talk about something and they go, word. And I'm like, what? Anyway, so words just mean something within a certain context, but they can change. And so we've had a rough time. First of all, love. That's why I've worked hard at getting a definition of love, which isn't all sappy and syrupy and right. Ushy-gushy and all that stuff. Not that there's anything wrong with all of that side of things. I kind of enjoy that kind as well. But when we talk about God's love for us, you know, if we look at it just from a Hallmark standpoint, it's kind of like many people are really not attractive. You know, it's like, you know, how many really would want to watch a Hallmark movie? You know?
Sorry.
Thank you, Kimberly, you too. But most people go, Hallmark movie? Oh, no, thank you very much. Just change the channel, you know? And so when we talk about God's love, I think that's kind of the mental reaction people have. It's like, God loves me. You know, it's hard to even say that because it's like it conjures the wrong ideas, you know? It's just like, ooh, don't know where to go with that. And so it just kind of gets filed in file 13 somewhere. And so all along here in this study of the Holy Spirit, as we've been going through this road to Pentecost with the Holy Spirit, and we keep talking about all his ministry to us and what he's come to do, and it really is all about love and God's connecting us to his love. So that's why I like this, connect, create belonging, and to include, because that's really what God wants to do with us. And so much of my reading for the school that I'm doing for spiritual direction gives me wonderful opportunities to read stuff that I would never think about reading or ever even know about. And this book, Anatomy of the Soul, that I've just finished reading has just been an amazing eye-opener in all of that. And so I want us to kind of ponder. We've looked at these two object lessons this morning because both the tool belt and all the baking ingredients for, I think, a chocolate cake, because there's cocoa underneath there too somewhere. Which one of those would you be most comfortable taking advantage of? The tool belt or the baking ingredients? Baking. Okay. Tool belt for Brian.
Tool belt.
Baking.
There.
Baking. I'm with the baking, obviously.
That's the wrong set of tools.
Ah, that's the wrong set of tools for you. Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, I think...
He didn't ask you to bring a tool belt.
That's right.
He didn't ask me to bring a box either.
That's right. So, but anyway, I mean, the study today on this what you've been studying all week and you've memorized it and you've, you know, looked at it so many times. You know, I don't want to insult your intelligence. I know you've already read it. But it's the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The word gifts is just like all these other words. It doesn't mean the same thing anymore. When you talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you can just see people's brains turning off. You just like click, like, what is that? And so if the Holy Spirit's ministry is to connect us, to create belonging,
yes,
and to include us, I think whatever other word we can you think of, that needs to be the title up here. So it's like the tool belt of the Spirit. His gifts are like his tool belt, or the essential baking ingredients, or, you know, I was going to get a set of Legos here if we were more interested in keyed into Legos. But whatever other thing we think of as tools of the trade, things I go to get the jobs done, whatever tasks are put in my hand to do, and it could be a computer keyboard or whatever here this morning, but rather than think of gifts, because we think gifts, we think pretty packages wrapped up with bows, which turns some people off as well. You know, I think it's kind of fun to do, but, you know, some people don't really like the idea, and it's like, rip that paper off, let's get to the gift inside, because the rest of this is just a waste of time. So whatever works for you, instead of gifts of the Holy Spirit, if it's the tool belt of the Spirit or the baking ingredients, the things I can have in my hand to get the job done. Because the goal of the Holy Spirit is to communicate God's love, not so we rest back in a hammock and listen to birds chirping in the tree. Again, not that there's anything wrong with resting back in a hammock, it sounds pretty good these days, and listening to birds chirping in the trees. But it's a far more earthy, one-on-one, in-your-face kind of experience. These gifts are not just tidy little trophies to set up on a shelf. They're things to use. They're things to grab a hold of and go with, because God is always asking us, like he asked Moses, we've looked at this many times, what's in your hand? Remember when God was calling Moses to go back to Egypt, and Moses was coming up with his 1,000 places he'd rather be, like Keith? You know, everything he could think of, he was like, I can't speak, I can't do, I don't know, it'll never work, and I have nothing to offer, I have nothing to do. And God just said, shut up, Moses, what's in your hand? He goes, a staff. And basically, can't you just hear Moses saying, a staff? And in the back of his mind, he's going, big deal. You know, like, and what am I going to do with the staff? And then God said, of course, throw it down on the ground. And when he threw it on the ground, it became a snake, you know. And so, and then, you know, that wasn't bad enough, but God said, now pick it up, you know. And of course, everybody loves, you know, the idea of picking up a snake. But as soon as Moses grabbed it by the tail and picked it up, it became his staff again. So this idea of what's in your hand, what are the commonplace, ordinary things we deal with all the time, our abilities, our strengths, our words, our perceptions, our artistry, whatever it is that God has gifted us with. Here's that word again, you can't get away from it. Whatever he's placed inside of us, whatever he's put in our hand, and say, all right, now, here you are, you're mine, you're my adopted son, you're my adopted daughter, I've given you this. Yeah. It isn't what I've given everybody else, I've given it to you. And I want now that you take this tool belt, this basket of baking ingredients, and I want you to accomplish my mission with the thing I put in your hand. And it's going to look different from what everybody else uses. And nobody else is going to want the same type of ingredients. And, you know, but Garth doesn't want that. He wants a tool box. You know, some people aren't going to use this either because they're allergic to gluten or chocolate or whatever the issue might be. But we all have something specific. And so I was really surprised, but here's where the Lord led me in Scripture this week. And you're going to go, what does this have to do with anything? But in John 15, Gospel of John, chapter 15. And so I just want us to look at this, because this is love. And this is how God, I think, is describing it for us, this morning as we look at what he's calling us into. So the first five verses, your blank there is connected. Connected to the vine. John 15, 1 through 5, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it'll even be more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So, connected to the vine. Part of the Holy Spirit's ministry is to connect with us and connect us to the Father's heart. It's so important for us to recognize that apart from him, apart from this ministry of the Spirit, we can do nothing. Jesus said, remember we looked at a couple weeks ago, Jesus said to his disciples, it's good for you that I go away. At which point they all freaked. You know, it's like, what? How here on earth, could it be good for us that you go away? We love you, we need you, and we feel totally lost and useless without you. But Jesus says, it's good for you that I go away. So the better part now for the continuing of this ministry I've given you is coming in the form of the Father, the Spirit, who will dwell in you. It's the equipping you need for this next part of the journey. It's important for you that I go away. If I don't go away, the Holy Spirit will not come to you, because that was the Father's plan. So he makes this big image here of, I'm the vine, you are the branches. It's good that the branches bear fruit. They get pruned back so they bear more fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You need to remain in me. So Jesus goes over and over and over and over again, the same image, because the disciples, probably not too much different from us, are a little slow to catch on. And so Jesus, if I repeat myself multiple times using different imagery or insisting on the same imagery, maybe they'll get it. And so connected to the vine is probably the essential first part of this love ministry of the Holy Spirit to us. The second thing is continued belonging to the vine. Verses 6 through 13, this the continuing. It isn't just a one-time deal, a one-off, and he comes in, he blasts us, and we're good to go. It's continuing. So look at verses 6 through 13. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it'll be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now, remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. So, how many times in these verses does Jesus say remain? I mean, more than once. I haven't actually counted them. I'm just thinking of that now. But I think there is one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. All right, so seven times in seven verses, Jesus uses the word remain. Remain in me as I remain in you, as I have remained in the Father's love. You remain in me, going back to, apart from me, you can do nothing. So it's a really good idea to remain in me. As you remain in me, you obey me, you will remain in me. My word remains in you. So there's like a little theme going on here. Remain. You know, and we just need to keep hearing this word over and over and over again. So not only does the Holy Spirit connect us, and Jesus makes it really clear, This is you're a living organism, and you've got to remain attached to the vine because you're just branches. You're not the vine. And so once the branch is off, then it's as soon as you break a branch off, it's dead. I mean, there is no more life in that vine, in that branch, no more life coming to that branch. And while it may have the appearance of looking healthy for several hours or maybe days, there's still no life in it, and there cannot be life because it is disconnected.
Can I say something?
Yes.
People would say, Jesus, so it's not divisive. The very next verse, I love, 14, he says, you are my friend if you do what I say. Read the next verse.
Yeah. We're getting there. We're going to get there. Yeah. So he's serious in this thing, and he keeps saying the same thing over and over and over again to these guys because we're in John 15. Jesus is coming to the end of his earthly ministry, and there are certain things he wants the disciples to know. You know what? This party, guys, is just getting started. It's going to get off the ground really soon, and you want to be prepared, and you want to be plugged in. You want to understand where your source is, because when this thing gets started, it's like a roller coaster ride like you've never seen before. And so he keeps saying the same things over and over again. So we need to be connected. We need to understand we're the branch. But then this continued remaining. You remain in me. And I think it's exciting that Jesus says, just as I obey the Father and I remain in him. Even Jesus is saying, while I've been here walking this earth as a man, fully man, it's been critical for me to remain in my Father's love through my obedience. If it's critical for Jesus to remain in the Father's love, I mean, I'm thinking that probably we could, you know, squared or triple that for us because, you know, it's just really important. So we're branches, and it's our job to by obeying and by loving to stay remaining in the vine. And the third thing, and Gregory's introduced this here, this is the word to fill in there is conscripted. We've been conscripted into the Father's business. So 14 through 17. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, second time, for everything I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You, in case you didn't know, did not choose me, but I chose you. And appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. So Jesus here is showing us, he's saying, I've invited you in not as servants, not as hirelings, not as employees. I brought you in as friends. And I've told you everything about my Father's business. This is what it's about. This is what it's for. This is what I invite you into. I've laid the whole thing out. I mean, nobody does that with their employees, right? I mean, do you ever know the whole deal about where you're working? And, you know, most employers don't tell their employees everything. Sometimes it would be better if they gave a little more detail, probably, and invited a little bit of feedback. I know some of you would say amen to that. But Keith and Garth aren't saying anything here this morning, but I know they would love to say something if they could.
Word. To your mother.
So, you know, but as the, so Jesus is saying, and, you know, I love this, what Gregory said. Jesus says, you're my friends if you do what I command. Why is he saying that? We used to think that verse was really mean. It's like, whoo, that sounds like conditional love. Only if you do what I command. But Jesus is saying, I obey my Father for love, and in so doing, I remain in his love. I remain closely connected, fully aware of what he's doing, what he's saying. You know, in another part of Scripture, Jesus says, you know, I only do what I see the Father doing and say what I hear the Father saying. Again, if Jesus, God himself in the flesh, needed to be that submitted to the divine plan. I only do what I see the Father doing and say what I hear the Father saying. That sounds like Jesus was remaining in the vine. He was deliberately remaining, holding firm, because he knew the only way to bear fruit was that it would come from the vine, from his Father. And the only way we're going to bear fruit is by doing what the Father says, remaining in the vine, and not just a one-time, you know, checking out the vine as we move on to bigger and better things, but realizing there's no place I'd rather be than connected to this vine. This is the essential thing. This is the most powerful thing. And as we're talking about the toolbox of the Spirit or the baking ingredients of the Spirit or however we want to describe gifts, what's been given to us, as we think about, we've been called into, you know, the Great Commission, of course, Matthew 28, we read that multiple times every year. If that's not being conscripted, I don't know what is. Jesus says, all right, all the authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And guess what? You're my friends? Guess who has it now? Boom! Go. Go do this. Go into all the world. You've been conscripted into the Father's business, which is kingdom extension, kingdom growing. Go into all the world. Make disciples. Then we're like Moses and we go, but I don't have anything in my hand. I mean, how am I going to do this? And Jesus says, yeah, you have something in your hand because I've guaranteed it. I've made sure. The Holy Spirit is here to connect us to the Father. And maybe in that context, we can say part of what the Holy Spirit does is continually show us what's in our hand to get this job done.
Right.
And I read this horrible statement, and I thought I would ruin your morning by bringing it, but I decided not to, and it's such a beautiful morning, I don't want to do this. But Thomas Merton, 60 years ago, wrote this sentence, this paragraph on what he considered to be the state of the church. And so I don't have it with me this morning because I thought it would really wreck your day. But you know, if you want it, I can send it to you if you ask me to send it to you. But you know, just talking about how we have missed it, and the church today, but he was writing this in 1950 something, you know, the church today has gotten so lackadaisical, and we are more defined by what we do together inside four walls than we are by the lives we live that impact the world around us. I mean, that's kind of how it is, only his words are a little more biting, you know, shall we say. So here we are 60 years later, and as I read these words, I'm going, wow, I think that's really true. So if Jesus here in John 15 is telling his disciples, you guys, you've been conscripted into this kingdom venture. So just sitting back, or as Thomas Merton was kind of accusing the church of sitting back on their laurels because they came to church once a week. And it's like, okay, we fulfilled our duty. That's good enough. Now let's get on with the really fun stuff. You know, Jesus is saying, no, you're only branches. And you only live as long as you stay connected to the Father. And you stay connected to the Father by loving and obeying, just like I've shown you as an example. I've been the prototype here. This is what you're to do. If you remain, as he says, then you will do this. And you are my friends. You know, how do we describe friendship? How do we describe our friends? They're the people who make it a point of trying. We serve one another. We enjoy one another. You know, we don't go about our business as friends showing our friendship by ignoring one another, not showing up, not helping, not being there, not communicating. We show our friendship by being involved. You know, by calling or texting or emailing or staying up with posts on Facebook or whatever we do, and visiting and seeing one another and going to, you know, doing things that friends do, whatever it is that draws us together. And in this season, the Harley Davidsons are coming out, and so, you know, that's a drawing card, etc. You know, there's an amazing thing that friends do, and that's how we define friends. Jesus is saying, you're my friends if you do what I command. I mean, I'm here showing you what I do in my relationship with my Father, so this is your job too. I'm sharing my job description with you. I've come to introduce the kingdom. Now you turn around and you keep introducing the kingdom wherever you go. You're my representatives now. You keep going. And you know, Paul talks about us being the aroma of Christ. You know, wherever we go, we are ministers of the gospel. And that's without exception. We are always ministers of the gospel. Sometimes we don't get a passing grade on that, you know, like we give into road rage or, you know, really ream somebody out because of whatever it is, or however we can fail at that mission. But we are always ministering the gospel because it's in us. You know, again, Fuchsia Pickett, one of these authors, I think she's probably with Jesus now, but, you know, she says, we're to be oozing Christians. And so I always go back to our Christmas trees, the fir trees we'd always bring into our house. You always want gloves on when you bring your fir tree into the house because sap is everywhere. And that stuff is really a pain to get off. If you've never experienced it, you just need to go grab a fir tree sometime and find out how hard that stuff is to get off. But she said, we're to be oozing Christians. And so we ooze wherever we go. We always bear the image of Christ wherever we go in the world. And so these gifts of the Spirit, these tool belt, these baking ingredients, however we can see that, he's given it to us all. And he never does anything half measure. So he's always looking for us to be those who've been conscripted. And so our days, regardless of where our days take us, we are ministers of the gospel. We want to be effective. We want to get the job done, right? Building relationships to get the job done. The job done is kingdom building. And if we don't feel like we have any gift of words and all that stuff, that's fine. Because again, St. Francis of Assisi said, go everywhere preaching the gospel. When necessary, use words. So if you're not a person of many words, don't use words. There are many ways we can show love and to connect people, to create belonging for them, and to make sure they're included. If we do that, all these passages that talk about these lists in the New Testament, which are gifts, it's just one humble way of communicating that the fullness of what the Father has given us to get this job done. And we're all responsible. So if you haven't memorized your list and you haven't gone, which would you want me to use? And some are the regular gifts that are always there and they're just tools in our hand that God always gives. And sometimes, as we've talked about already, there are gifts on the spur of the moment, something is needed. The Holy Spirit just looks down and goes, okay, Patrick needs to have this gift of healing, and so because this person is right beside him, I'm going to give that to him. He's going to pray in faith, and that person's going to be healed because he chooses to do that. That's how exciting and scary this whole deal is. And so that's I think, the exposure of the gifts as we go to communion this morning. Recognize this communion also is something that connects us, creates belonging, because we recognize these symbols of our crucified, risen Savior. They connect us back to the vine, connect us back to one another. They create our belonging as the body of Christ. And they help us to know that we're included. So instead of it just being a boring thing we have to keep reminding ourselves of, it's keeping included. And then next week, we're going to go with the signs and wonders of the Holy Spirit. That's the handout for this coming week. And we're all included. And that we're not seeing much in the way of signs and wonders these days, I think maybe it's just because we haven't realized that we have something in our hands that we need to work with. And so I think we should, as we consider communion this morning, ask the Holy Spirit, ask what's in my hand. If I don't know what I've got, ask him to show us what's in our hand. What is this part of my being conscripted That's my responsibility. So let's pray as we come to communion. Father, thank you for this non-hallmark display of love. Your display on Calvary was certainly not pretty. It was painful. It was horrible. It was our sense of grotesque. It was not attractive. It was not winsome. And yet you accomplished the Father's purpose because you obeyed. You saw what was yours to do, and you did it as an example to us. Father, could you remind us again of how much we've received from you? This life, this love that is ours, this sense of community and family and being a part of something that's not going away, something that is permanent. And then what you've put in our hands, this super practical thing that you've put in our hands, or things, plural. So as we ponder this bread, this symbol of your broken body for us, and this cup, which is the symbol of your shed blood for us, we're so powerfully reminded of how connected, how much we belong, and how much we've been included. And so we bless you for this very simple meal of these two very simple elements. That's a reminder, they serve as a reminder to us today on this 29th day of April 2018, that we've been included. And what is in our hand is going to look different as we use it than it's going to look if it's in the hand of someone else near us. But our job is to do what you've called us to do. How we can be your witnesses. How we can be with words or without, with deeds or without, however you choose to do that. Could our lives just be those drink offerings, as Paul says, just being poured out, just being servants as you choose. So thank you this morning for these reminders. Thank you for showing us what is ours, what's in our hand to do here this morning. And we bless you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.